You know what we have, though, to bring us some joy this morning? The return of Tom Skilling, who has been off the air, I think, 4 or 5 weeks now after gastric bypass surgery. And look who's on the telephone with us to start the show this morning. Tom Skilling, happy Easter to you, my friend.
Oh, Dean, happy Easter. Happy Passover, everybody. This is strange, isn't it?
It is.
You know, I've got you guys. I'm using carrier pigeons out of here on the balcony.
Right.
You think you guys are behind?
It's not. It's not so bad, except tying those heavy weather maps to their little legs.
I know. You know, one of them got tangled up, the carrier pigeons, in the weather balloon I was launching out here.
Tom, I cannot tell you how happy I am to hear your voice.
Dean, I'll tell you, every time I see you, you bring a smile to my face. I was watching on the morning news. I did the little segment with Sean and Tanya and Mike Hammernick and the whole group. And then I saw you there, and I got a kick out of your comments about the hairline and all after the Tom Hanks appearance on Saturday Night Live last night.
Yeah.
And, you know, Dean, hasn't this whole crazy thing decimated our evening shows? And even, I just can't get into the swing of things the way I normally do with shows like Saturday Night Live, although you've got to admire the ingenuity that is being exercised to try and make the best out of a challenging situation, don't you?
Right. A show like that, especially, that's so contingent on human interaction and the sketches and audience reaction. Even, you know, the late night shows also, you know, trying to do shows without audiences and trying to communicate with guests. You know, even our local newscasts, all the local newscasts.
Yeah.
Are doing, you know, most of the people are at home, as you will be when you return to WGN-TV tomorrow. They set up a whole studio at Tom's house so he can do the weather. But it's so bizarre, how we're reconciling, the strange times in our lives.
And same thing on the radio. Folks originating from home up and down our radio schedule. This is very peculiar. And it's going on in newsrooms. I was talking to one of the Tribune reporters, Tracy Swartz, and, they're working from home and everything else. It's very strange. They had a photographer come out, John Lee, from the Tribune staff, to take some pictures of the home weather office here. And he was saying, wow, you know, he's been doing almost exclusively COVID-19 stories, as have his colleagues, in trying to report this. And I'm telling you, the Fourth Estate has done an amazing job in informing us in one of the weirdest situations I think we've ever faced in this country, in our lives, anyway.
We
should have known something like this might happen, but to have it actually have happened is pretty strange.
One of the strangest things I've ever seen. But, you know, you must feel very fortunate because you did you'd been preparing for your gastric bypass surgery for 6 months, and then the surgery itself actually took place before they shut down elective surgery. So you must feel very fortunate that you were able to get this in under the wire.
Oh, Dean, you know, you're right. You prepare for a surgery like this for about 6 months. You meet with nutritionists. You meet with a psychologist. The medical staff wants to be sure that you know what you're getting into, because this, you know, surgery like this and the eating habits that follow represent just a major lifestyle change. So they want to thoroughly brief you on what's coming up, and so that you know you go into this with your eyes wide open. But, and laying this out, we could have had no idea what was about to transpire. And had I, had the surgery planned a week or two later, it wouldn't have happened. I talked to my surgeon who did this gastric bypass, Dr. Hungus, and he was saying that, all of his surgeries are off. They're not doing these elective surgeries anymore. And I really think psychologically that would have been a blow.
Sure.
Nothing compared to what some folks who have this disease are putting up with. But I, nonetheless, you know, you get ready for this.
Yeah, you mentally prepare for it, of course.
Yeah.
So what was the tipping point for you, Tom? A point at which you said, I need to do this. I mean, you and I had talked privately about, you know, having, you know, battling weight problems and so forth. But there was something with you that you said, enough, I'm going to go ahead and do this.
You know, Dean, the evolution toward doing this was, it covered several years. I knew I was having trouble with my weight. My father had before me. It runs in the family. And I was tired. Not doing my work so much, but I mean, if I walked two blocks, that was it. I was wasted. Going up a flight of stairs, you know, was something. So we started in, we did blood chemistry, we did heart. I thought, you know, maybe there's some blockage in the heart or something. You think the worst. And we went through that. Everything checked out normally. It was hauling around all this extra weight. And so I figured, you know, my father had a massive stroke. He had built up toward the same medical. He was in the same medical state that I was getting into. Diabetes was coming on. You know, his legs were swelling, tired, and so. And my father ended up having a massive stroke that he was comatose for a year. We weren't even sure he would pull out of that. And in fact, I got done with the 9 o'clock news one night, and the folks at our assignment desk came in and said, hey, you better contact the hospital out in Aurora because your dad's been taken there. And I called out. He was still conscious at that point and dismissing it as anything serious. Well, by the time it took me to drive out to the hospital, to the emergency room, he had been helicoptered to Loyola, comatose. And they told me, I was met by the chaplain and the surgeon there. And they said, you know, your father's in bad shape. He's had a massive stroke. And I was, you know, you head that way when you're obese. And I was morbidly obese. So I figured that and the fatigue and everything else, there are 18 million reasons to have it done. I really needed help. It's not a matter of pushing the plate away at that point. You're beyond that, you know. You've got to get help. So this surgery, they staple the top of your stomach, the version of it I had. You have about 1/8 the stomach volume, and they cut your intestines. I guess they divide them in half, and they connect the lower intestine to this new pouch at the top of your stomach that serves as your stomach. And so you cut the volume of food you eat, and you cut the portion of the intestine that processes it, and combined, they lead to weight loss. And it's really quite extraordinary what happens. I've lost about 50 pounds.
That's amazing. And 5-0, you're saying. 5-0 in about 5 weeks, right?
Yeah, and it's a work in progress, Dean, because this will slowly go on, providing I do all I'm supposed to, and I am committed to a lifestyle change. I have a woman, Pat Butkus, who's been working with me on the meals, because you sit down with these nutritionists, and they tell you, oh, you want 25 grams of this and 25 grams of that. And,
right.
And I don't know what 25 grams of this or that looks like,
right,
you know?
Right,
and you're trying to do a job at the same time. So Pat has been amazing, and so has the medical staff at Northwestern where I had this done. So it's been an experience. But, well, boy, is it good to be getting back to work.
You look fantastic. I saw you on camera this morning. You did a quick little hello on the WGN TV morning news this morning, and you look terrific. You look healthy and happy, and wow, what a treat for you also that we've got crappy weather coming in for you to be back on the air. You know, that's like the cherry on top of the sundae for you, right?
You know, I'm telling you, even Mother Nature's serving up some reasonably interesting and sophisticated-looking meteorological phenomena. So, it's really something. And thank goodness, you know, something's occupying the thought because we're all stuck at home,
right,
you know. And
right.
But you know, Dean, it's really interesting to have the whole weather set up here. We had a whole group of engineers over setting this thing up. And I can do everything here at home that I do at the office. So this may become rather addictive. I don't know.
There's something very enticing about that. It is 10:26, Dean Richards, Sunday morning. Dr. Kevin Most will be joining us, as always, here on Sunday morning with all of the latest. We're going to talk some quarantine cooking coming up later on, but I'm so happy to have not only the greatest meteorologist in the world on with us, but more than that, my friend, Tom, I was thinking about this, how many decades that we've been pals and hung out and done telethons together. And, you know, we just, you know, just as a matter of reference, both of us had hair when we first met each other.
I know.
You know, so that'll.
Well, you know, Dean, our story is, I think you and I agree that it was brain activity that burned the follicles off,
right.
You know.
And, that's right.
Put us in our current.
That's right.
Challenged state.
Yeah.
Hey, Dean, one thing I've got to say to you on a serious note. I am so sorry at the passing of your brother.
Thank you, Tom. You have
had to carry on this remarkable schedule. I don't know of anybody in this business who works harder than you do. I don't know how you do it. And to have this going on, I'm so sorry for
thanks.
You and your family.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you. Yeah, my brother Bill passed away this past Tuesday. After an 8-year battle with dementia, it was pneumonia actually that got him. It was not COVID-19 related. People have been asking me about that, but it was pneumonia and some other related disease. You know, dementia starts breaking things down in the body that the brain controls, and at some point you just become too weak to fight back. So he was only 69 years old, Tom, and that's that's the other thing.
Yeah, too young to leave us.
It was a tough week. This was a tough week, and I appreciate your nice personal note that you sent to me, and thank you for mentioning it this morning, Sharon.
Well, I tell you, you are more than welcome, Dean. It broke my heart to hear that.
Thank you. It helps to have good friends like you at times like this. Sharon, you're on with Tom Skilling on WGN. Hello.
Well, good morning to both of you.
Thank you. Good morning.
And a happy Easter, I might add.
Likewise.
Happy Easter to you, Sharon. Are you stuck at home the way all of us are?
Well, actually, I've been kind of self-quarantined. You know, I'm in that vulnerable age. But, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, we lived through the whole I lived through polio. So when I was a child, my parents would talk about how in the 50s, there was a big polio scare and how they thought every child, you know, that walked the street had polio. And I was hospitalized, but thank God I didn't have it. And so this is just one of those scares that makes you wake up and realize that, you know, there's a bigger power and God's watching over us.
You know, it's weird for Easter. You know, usually on Easter, people are preparing their big meals, their family get-togethers. And everybody's going solo pretty much today. It's very weird.
Which isn't a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. It's a time to reflect and to realize that you need to just slow down a little bit. And it's not all about, you know, having 50 people for lamb or ham or
chocolate
that kind
bunnies
of thing.
And all that. Maybe exactly. A chance to reflect on the true meaning of the day. Yeah.
Exactly.
You know,
well, Tom, the reason for my call is I'm so thrilled for you. Over the past few years, my family and I, we've been really concerned about you, watching you on the weather. And, and you know, my heart was breaking for you because I, in fact, you know, struggled with my weight my entire life being, you know, 65. I see the ups and downs and the ups and downs. And I think I finally have a handle on it, finally, which mine was kind of a vitamin deficiency related. But in your case, that's a huge step to take. And I congratulate you and now we're not worried about you because you're going to be on there until forever. And I'm hoping stormy weather is next week. I'm hoping.
Well, and he can broadcast from his house.
You are. Thank you.
Yeah, he doesn't. He doesn't even have to put pants on before he comes to work.
That's a vision. That's a vision.
Well, you know, Sharon. You know what? I told my boss. I said, you know, I've always kind of had in the back of my mind doing a weather show from bed. And I said, you know, now with this home weather office, I could roll a bed in here, and it would be a new approach to weather, you know, just weather from the bed. The boss said to me at that point, look, if you're going to wait till I retire, you know, So I think
and good for you. And
watch.
and a speedy recovery, and do what they say, and you know, don't be like some of those celebrities that have had gastric bypass and then they regain 100 pounds. I've seen it happen.
I know.
You know,
you can do it.
Yeah, I think
you can do it. If you don't stick with the regimen, you can do it, Sharon.
Yeah,
I hope in my mind my intention is to stick with this. And
absolutely.
It's still a work in progress, Sharon. I've lost 50 pounds, but they say this is going to go on for a while, so we'll see how
good
I want to get. I want to go farther than this if I can. So thank you, Sharon,
and happy
Easter.
It's the first 100 that's the hardest.
Right.
And just think about it. You know, you're just setting aside another person. You know, it's the other
something?
Half.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Sharon, thank you for the call. Sharon, we appreciate
Happy
that.
Happy Easter, you guys. Take care.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sharon.
I've known people, Tom, who have had, I'm sure you have too, and I'm sure you did a lot of research before you even considered this. I've known people who have had the same procedure, lost 100, 150, 100, more than 150 pounds in some cases. So, good for you. This is Jill, who is on the line with Tom Skilling.
Oh,
morning, Jill.
Hi, Dean. My condolences on your brother. And also, Tom. My question is, I've lost, 68 pounds of doing high protein, low carb, but since I was having a little trouble before, but since this has happened, I've been like binge eating and put like 15 back on because that's my drug of choice. I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't do drugs.
Right.
So I'm wondering if you have any trouble. How did you deal with stress, with eating, your way of dealing with stress, and how are you dealing with it now since you can't eat?
Well, you know what's interesting is there are hormones that are released by our stomach that scream, hey, you're starving, and encourage you to eat. These tend to be suppressed, some by the surgery.
Oh, wow.
It helps a great deal. When you come out of the operating room and you're in during your recovery, you're on liquid the first week, purees the second, and then I've been building toward more solid food. And they tell me in the next 2 weeks I'll start experimenting with a wider array of things. But you can't eat processed sugar. No alcohol. I was never much of a drinker anyway.
See, that's my thing, the sugar.
Yeah, the sugar, it's an easy thing to do. I mean, there are such wonderful things to eat these days.
Oh, right.
It's easy. But, you know, it'll be something I have to focus on. And I can't tell you, I've been starving. My meals are down to little 2 and 3 ounce proteins. Serving. And you don't even drink a beverage with your meals. You don't eat vegetables with them. You have little pieces of chicken or a little tuna or a little egg, soft stuff. And then you sip fluids the rest of the day because the two problems you have. And then you have to drink a couple of protein shakes and vitamin supplements because you're not getting the nutrition you used to get with the volume of food you used to eat. But it's all been very manageable up to this point. I'm only 5 weeks into this, Lisa. So, you know, by no means am I the world's authority on this. I'm still learning as I go. But it's been a fascinating experience. And congratulations on 68 pounds. Wow.
Yeah. I'm trying to. Well, one thing that did help me is high protein, low carb has worked for me in the past. And to some success, obviously keeping it off. But once you get that carrot, ooh, success, you know, you keep seeing that success, it does motivate you really a lot.
It does.
Yeah, it has to be something that you can stick with and, you know, continue to do, not, you know, do the diet for a while and then go back to it. I know the temptation, especially now with COVID-19 and all the stress that's involved.
Oh, right.
A lot of people
right.
are doing a lot of stress eating right now, comfort food eating, just to ease themselves. So Tom, how long will you always be on a dietary regimen like that? Or
you know what, Dean,
will it build up to slightly larger than that?
Oh, it will build up to slightly larger. My stomach is 1/8 the size it was. You can, however, stretch it, I'm told. So you've got to be careful. But they say by the end of a year, you'll eat the equivalent of a Lean Cuisine meal, volume-wise. And they say that that will be something you work up to. But I've told Pat Butkus, with whom I'm working on these meals, I said, Pat, I hope you're in this for the long haul, because I need your help and guidance on this. I'm not a great one. Especially when you're trying to do a job, parceling out what I need to parcel out to eat and, you know, obtain the proper nutrition and at the same time maintain your weight. So I intend to stick with this. I've been treadmilling it too, Dean, and so that's an important component of the whole thing too. Yeah.
Well, you sure are an inspiration to a lot of people, and I'm sure a lot of people are inspired to inquire about the surgery if they ever start doing elective surgeries again, that other people might be interested. Was it a difficult procedure to go through, the actual, I mean, no surgery is a barrel of laughs, but what was that like?
You go on a diet 2 weeks before the surgery, then you have the surgery. When they wheeled me out, I felt like a truck had hit me. It didn't help having a guy screaming in the recovery room. He was apparently having a bad time, the poor devil. And I thought it was part of the dream. And then I realized, no, I'm waking up and there's a guy screaming obscenities in the bed next to me. But
So it was like being in the WGN newsroom then. Made you feel at home.
It was like being in the WGN weather office when the computer exists, you know?
I've experienced that. I've seen that happen, yeah. post-surgical discomfort or pain?
No.
Not really.
The next day, Dean, they had it under control. And, you know, they, in this opioid addiction world we're in, they are very careful about how they prescribe painkillers. But I was not really in terrible pain. I mean, I knew I'd had a major operation done. You took it slow, and they get you up right away. They want you walking around.
Wow.
So I got up and did a couple of rounds around the hospital, but the staff was wonderful and so supportive. And it really, Dean, when you consider the magnitude of the surgery that had gone on, I mean, when they're stapling your part of your stomach and cutting your intestines, that's major surgery.
Right.
But it really, it was quite tolerable. And I was on medication for pain, but I'm not a big pill taker. I don't like doing that. And so I try to limit that, but you've got to do something to mitigate the pain. And it was controlled. It really was.
Well, I couldn't be happier for you. I know that all of Chicago is rooting for you based on the reaction that I saw when you very candidly posted what you were doing on your Facebook page. You were very open and very honest, and I saw the massive response and love that people have for you. And I know that everyone is so happy that you're going to be back on the air tomorrow. We'll look forward to that. We're happy to get our weather from you. We're mostly happy that our longtime friend is healthy and doing some positive things to stay that way.
Dean, thank you. Look, there are a lot of people that have it a lot rougher than I do. This was an elective surgery. I chose to do this. I'm very lucky. But I'll tell you, the response, I had no idea I'd get that kind of response from folks. Folks have been wonderful. So thank you to everybody who took the time out of their busy days to drop a line. I appreciate it. There's no way I can ever adequately thank everybody. And Dean, thank you. You are a true friend. You always have been. And I get such a kick out of knowing that you're a colleague of mine. So thank you, Dean.
Likewise. I value your friendship, Tom. And I can't wait to see you in person. Whenever people are able to hug each other again, I've got one reserved for you.
Well, same for you, Dean. In the meantime, I'll give you one of these cyber hugs.
Right.
What do they call them?
Yeah, virtual hugs or something.
Virtual
hugs. Yeah.
So consider consider it delivered, Dean, and all right, everybody pal. Listening as well.
Enjoy your day today, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the air tomorrow. Tom, thank you so much for spending a couple of minutes with us and for all your well wishes this week. I appreciate it.
My honor. Thank you. It's my pleasure, too, Dean. All right, thank Tom. You. Great talking with you. Happy Easter.
Likewise, Tom. Happy Easter to you, too.